Welcome, family. This is Mama T. Welcome to another Gift of Life episode. I'm so thankful and grateful that you chose to tune in to listen to this message. This is a powerful message because it's coming from a powerful God. I'm just a vessel, and I'm thankful and honored that I am. So I just bless you, and I pray that as you listen in, that these scriptures and the words that God is going to speak through me will just touch your heart to fall more in love with Him and become all what He's called you to be. Praise God. That truly is the meaning of the gift of life that we have. Again, if you want to listen to more of these episodes, just go to www.lovebyexample.com and click on the gift of life, and you can see different archives. I'm starting today or continuing our series about the sower sowing the seed. I titled it Spiritual Parables. Or spiritual eyes, parables, or I might put SS and I put the number. But I'm talking about the parables, about the sower sowing the seed. And I'm really honing in on the word seed. Because it's so important for us to understand that the word of God is like a seed that's planted into the soil of the ground. But the word is planted in the soil of our heart. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, he said that, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the other parables?" He's basically saying, if you understand the parable, the first one, just this one, of the parable of the sower and the seed, or the sower sowing the seed, which is in Matthew 13, Luke 8, and Mark 4, if you understand those parables, just that one, he says, you'll understand all the other parables. And believe me, it is so true. I am seeing more, understanding more. I'm living more into the presence of who I am in Christ. I have a stronger conviction on why I'm here, what I'm supposed to do. And it's all because of the living Word of God that is like seeds. It also says in Luke 8, I love that one. In Luke 8, this is what it says there. It says, in the same thing, same context of the sower and the seed, it says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." Isn't that beautiful? And today I'm going to talk about, this is number 9, I'm going to talk about, is you reaping what you sow biblical? And I want to say, yes, it is. And before I turn to this verse, let me just read this. It says in 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now to the King eternal, ever living, unseen, the only God, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen." And the King James Version says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen." Isn't that beautiful? Here's what the Easy English says. "God is the King who will rule always. He can never die. We cannot see Him. He is the only God. Everyone should say always how very great He is. Everyone should do this. Always." This is so true. Isn't that beautiful? And that's the God that we serve, the invisible, immortal, all-wise King of the universe. And back in Genesis, getting back to the seed, I love this. In Genesis chapter 1, this is during the history of creation, it says, "Then God said," verse 11, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herbs that yield seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruits, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Then the evening and the morning were the third day." Isn't that beautiful? So I just want you to see that when God speaks, when He speaks, He creates, and He starts off, and I just imagine His words are being like, they're like seeds. And that's what it said in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, that God's word is like a seed, or the seed is like a word. And look what it says here in Genesis 8:22. What, this is after the flood now, and God's getting ready to make a covenant with Noah that He won't flood the earth again. But right here, He says, this is in Genesis 8:22, "While the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest." See that? Seed takes time, and then a harvest. cold and winter, a cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So he's just basically saying, you know, I'm not going to destroy the earth, basically. I'm making this promise with you in a seed time and a harvest. So I just wanted to read those verses before I start my notes, because truly the question is reaping and sowing, is that biblical? And I want to say, yes, most definitely. And God's word has healing power. It has creative power in it. And so we need to learn how to speak God's word, because it also says in James 3 that we shouldn't be blessing and talking about the good things of God out of our mouth and at the same time cursing one another and speaking curse. James says that ought not to be. So let me just look at my notes here and we'll go through this. This is powerful. And I'm going to try to really get through this and show you one particular portion of scripture that the Apostle Paul, who thought he was blessing God, blessing himself, blessing others, but in reality, when his eyes were opened up, he realized he was cursing. And he repented. And you know the story about Apostle Paul, or Saul, who became Paul. Was one of the greatest evangelists ever, and I just love this man. I can't wait until I get to meet him in glory. But according to the Bible, you do reap what you sow. The principle of sowing and reaping is common throughout the Bible because it is something that all humanity can relate to. The practice of working the ground to gain a harvest is nearly as old as humanity itself. Part of Adam's curse, we didn't read that, but part of Adam's curse was that the ground would bring forth thorns and thistles in response to his work, that it would be by the sweat of his brow you will eat your food. That's Genesis 3:19. Adam understood the concept, you reap what you sow, both literally and figuratively. So we know that because what he sowed, disbelief, doubt, not believing God's word. And he said in 3:10, I heard your voice. It's not like I didn't hear you. I heard your voice, but I chose to be in fear, and then I chose to hide. See? And it's the same thing if you look at Matthew 25 about the three stewards that had three talents that God had given them. The last one that had one, he said he feared the master and he hid too. So you only have two choices, to be a blessing by listening to what God's word says, or to be a curse by ignoring what God's word says and listening to somebody else. There's only two stores you can shop at, two trees you can pick from, but only one leads to life and the other one leads to death. So the reaping and sowing is mostly directly in, is definitely a biblical, and it is directed, is a lot of verses, but I like these two verses in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, now, he writes in 2 Corinthians 9:6. You need to really read this, 2 Corinthians 9:6 all the way through 15. It is so powerful. And the main theme of this particular portion is talking about material goods and material money. How if you sow your money into a good ground, that what you're going to reap back is going to be a lot. And just like our garden, we sowed a lot of seeds, vegetable gardens. We sowed a lot of seeds in our vegetable garden, and we got a great harvest coming back. So if you don't like the harvest that you're living in your life today, you got to go back and see, whose word have you been sowing in your mind? Have you been sowing God's word, or have you been sowing the enemy's word? Okay, because he will plant in your garden, if you let him, his toxic thoughts. That's what it said in the parables too, if you read those parables. So anyway, but Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The other is in Galatians 6:7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. So these two general verses, I love them, talking about sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap. And in 2 Corinthians, let me turn there really quick. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I love this. Here's what it says. Paul says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully, that's what this says, New King James, will also reap bountifully. I love this. So let each one give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. And I love this. And God, the invisible, all-wise, immortal God that speaks seed words and they become creative things. And God is able to make all grace, that's God's riches at Christ's expense, make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance in every good work. Isn't that beautiful? And he goes on, quotes the Old Testament. He says, as it is written, he who dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness shall endure forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply, multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us and to God. I love this. And then it says in the last verse, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Isn't that beautiful? And really, it's all centered around Christ and what we have and who we are in Christ. See, so the thing is, are you sowing what Philemon says in 6, that the sharing of your faith might become effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you? Are you sharing the good things that God has sown in you with that incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:3-23, that we are a brand new creation, old things have passed away, and now I'm learning to live, Romans 6:4, this newness of life by following and the Holy Spirit's leading? Are you? If you are, then you should receive a harvest, an increase, a multiplication. But maybe you're not. Or maybe you're doing what James says not to do. You're sowing good seeds, God's seeds, but then you're coming right back, kicking that seed out by cursing yourself and cursing others, complaining and griping and grumbling, but yet being thankful we're here, but complaining, griping. I know I did that for so long, believe me. That's called double-mindedness. Scientists call it cognitive dissonance. That was me for a long time. I'm not there anymore. Hallelujah. So I'm sowing seeds of God's word and detoxing those toxic thoughts. Instead of speaking them, I'm detoxing them. I'm not living them anymore. I see those weeds and what they look like. So sowing and reaping, you will reap what you sow. So be careful what you sow. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what guards your mind and your heart, because out of it comes the issues of life. Don't just let any thought just run rampant in your mind, because the words that God speaks, they're like seeds, and the words that Satan speaks, they're like seeds, and they will grow if you pay attention to them, if you rehearse them, if you keep looking back, you keep complaining and keep saying the same thing over, they will grow. There's scriptures that talk about that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. So there are Old Testament verses that also refer to this principle that we reap what we sow. Those who plant injustice will harvest disaster. And says King Solomon, Proverbs 22:8, you have planted wickedness, you have reaped evil, says the prophet Hosea 10:13. They will eat the fruit of their ways and we fill with the fruit of their schemes, says the wisdom in Proverbs 1:31. In each case, the law of sowing and reaping goes back to God's justice and God's ways. Isn't that something? My goodness. On the one hand, there is a real spiritual principle at work here. Okay. Now, when I say spiritual, remember when I opened up, all wise, invisible. Spiritual is just another word for invisible. We can't see, touch God at all. 1 Peter 1:8 says, we can't see him, we haven't seen him, but we love him. Okay, this is a faith thing. You just have to believe what I'm saying is true. And that's why I'm giving you these verses, so you can verify what I'm saying is true. And it would behoove you to take these verses and examine yourself to see, what are you sowing? And this is what our whole class is about that I teach, and our women's conference coming up, CUBU, and our memory verses that we're memorizing, Ephesians and Romans 6. We're memorizing, meditating, mouthing the Word of God. We're planting the Word of God in our mind and detoxing those toxic thoughts that don't line up with God's Word. So we have the armor of God on. We're dressed for battle. We know who we are in Christ. We're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. But we're also going into the battlefield in the area between our ears and our ears so we can go out in the battlefield and help others too. And this is what I hope I'm doing right now as I'm talking to you, getting into your heart. Because in the sower and the seed, remember, there's nothing wrong with the sower and there's nothing wrong with the seed. It is the condition of the sower's heart. It's a heart condition. Your thought life. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And so I'm asking you to examine your heart. When I say heart, I'm talking about your thinking process. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about how you think and feel and choices that you make. Because your mind will control your brain. Remember, your brain and mind connection. There's two separate entities, but they work together. But the mind tells the brain what to do, and then the brain tells the body what to do. But the Spirit of God will tell you what your soul should do, or your mind, if you're in the Word of God and planting those seeds. So it's very, very important that we understand this principle, like Mark said, Jesus said in Mark 4:13, if you understand this principle, the sower and the seed, you'll understand all of them. But if you don't, it's just, you'll be ignorant of Satan's devices, ignorant of what it means about detoxing, talking, remaining thoughts in Romans 7. You won't know. So you need to, as a believer, you need to know, because when you know this, you will know your purpose for existence. You'll know who you are in Christ, and you'll be on a destiny. Like Paul had to tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, but he says, hey, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But prior to that, he says, stir up your gift. You see, once you get born again, you gotta tap into the power, that second P, which is going to show you your spiritual gifts. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. You gotta stir up your gifting, brother, because you can't fight. You can't be victorious. You can't be confident if you are not operating in your spiritual gift. So a lot of believers don't know their spiritual gifts. So what happens is they get stuck. Believers get stuck just going through the rituals and the motions, and there's never an inner transformation from the inside out where that new being, that new person that's connected and in covenant. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, that your spirit is joined together with his spirit. We are one in him. And that's what Romans 6 is all about. And Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 that our spiritual eyes of faith will be opened up to see this and believe this. And then we'd understand the power in Ephesians 3. And then we would put on the whole armor of God and go forward and cast down and tear down those strongholds, like those mighty strongholds when Joshua had to cross over into Jericho. That's a picture of those strongholds, those high walls that imprison people. A lot of believers are in prison. They're in bondage. And they got these chains and they're shackled up because they haven't learned to detox. They haven't learned the value of sowing God's word and detoxing the demonic words and thoughts and seeds. So this is so important about sowing and reaping. Here's something else. Sometimes what looks like a harvest is not one. When Job was suffering, his friends considered the trouble as a just punishment from God for some secret sin that Job may have done. Job's friend, Eliphaz, throws this in his face and says, as I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. Job 4:8. But Eliphaz was wrong. Job was not reaping what he had sown. The harvest had not yet come, and it would not come until the end of the book. So, how do you know the difference? How do you know the difference and not make this mistake that Job's friend did? By the way they live. And if you know Job's life, Job was a righteous man before God. But these friends, they didn't want to go that far. They didn't want to look at that. They just wanted to assume because it was big or because it was horrible, that had to be God. You know, and that's what we have a lot of believers today, because one person or two people can fill up a stadium and that just must be God there. Things are happening there. Or if it's small, little, God must not be there. Uh-uh. You got to know people by their fruits. And the only way you're going to know them by their fruits is by the word of God. So you reap what you sow. Holds true both positively and negatively. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Galatians 6:8. This verse summarizes the principle and the beauty. When we are selfish, proud, unjust, stingy, sinful, us for no more, trusting in our own abilities or worth to save us or to make us look like we are something, we are sowing to the flesh and destruction awaits. But when we are selfless, generous, kind, loving, and depending on God's provision, depending on God's power to save us and to maintain and keep us, we are sowing to the Spirit and we will reap eternal life. Faith in Jesus and the pursuit of who He has called you to be and walking in the Spirit is walking in the Spirit. And it says in Romans 5, I love this, it says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds. Now remember, living means lifestyle. Those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Isn't that something? And in verse 8 says, so then, the flesh and the carnal mind can't please God. And then he says, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body or the toxic thoughts, you shall live. So there it is, brothers and sisters, sowing and reaping. It is biblical from the beginning in Genesis all the way to the end. And when God speaks, just look at his word. It's invisible. It's all wise. It's profitable for reproof, for correction and instruction, so that the man or the woman of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. You need to know what you're sowing. Or if you're not sowing, a lot of people just don't sow. But look at your life. And that's not what you were called to do. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says he died for us so that we could live for him. If you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are obligated by love. That's what should be motivating you because you've got a brand new life. You are obligated to witness the love of God and to share what he has done for you, like it said in Philemon, that the sharing of your faith might become effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you. Here's that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's it right there. That's it. So if you're wondering why you're not seeing exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power that works in you, seriously, not just saying it like I used to. I mean, I saw some things. I don't want to make it sound like nothing happened. There was things that I did a lot of things for the Lord, and I saw a lot of fruits, but I was really spotty. I was up and down. I'm telling you. I complained. I grumbled. I griped. I tried to figure things out. I tried to work it out. I always was coming up with some new idea, some new thing that we could do, or maybe we need to do this and tweak that. When I found out, all I needed to do was to find out who I was in Christ. And that's what birthed my book. After our son's horrible death and that brokenness, I realized who I was in Christ. God opened my eyes to see that what I was looking in the mirror wasn't really me. I needed to get in touch with who I was in him. And I've been on that quest ever since. Hey, God's word has healing power. It will heal everywhere you hurt. God bless you.
You're healed by the power of his word. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. You're healed by the power of his word. Hallelujah. Be healed, be healed, be healed. Be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be healed, be healed. I cursed out, be healed by the power. Be healed by the power. Be healed in your mind. Be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed by the power. By the power of the word of the Lord. Encourage somebody around you. Tell them, be healed by the power. Now you declare tonight, I'm healed. Come on. Speak it over your life. In the name of Jesus, you declare, I am healed.
by the power. Hallelujah. As you go to your seats, brothers, tell somebody, I'm healed, yes I am, by the power. Come on, speak it in faith. I'm healed, yeah. Look at somebody else and tell them, be healed. Jesus' name, by the power. Come on, tell somebody, be healed by the power. Hallelujah. Be healed tonight. Come on, receive it.
By the power of his word. Make no doubt about it, by the power. You gotta believe it, you gotta believe it. You gotta believe it. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. By the power of his word. By the power of the word of the Lord. Sing it one more time tonight.
The power of his word.
Sing this with us. Listen. By the power of your word. By the power of your word. Sing it again.
By the power of your word.
By the power.
By the power of your word.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
By the power.
By the power of your word.
Everybody sing by.
By the power of your word.
You gotta declare it. By the power.
By the power of your word.
I'm healed. Yes, I am.
I'm healed.
I'm healed by the power. Everybody say,
by the power.
By the power. Declare it, brother. I'm healed, yes. I'm healed by the power. Oh, Lord, by the power. By the power. Sing it to the Lord. I'm healed.
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 Come on, you declare it tonight.
I'm healed.
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 Healed in my mind.
I'm healed.
Healed in my soul.
I'm healed.
Healed in relationships.
I'm healed.
Healed in my
heart.
My sons and daughters are healed. I am healed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Come on, praise Him for your healing tonight.